The first scripture reading for today comes from Leviticus 19, 9 to 10. That is from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, and that is on page 106 of your pew Bible. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. Here ends the first scripture reading.
Second scripture reading we find from Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 8, 9, and 10. So Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I am really pleased to introduce my brother, David Bronkema, to come and share the gospel today. David is currently Dean at Palmer Theological Seminary. You may know it as part of Eastern University in St. David. I've known him my whole life. So it's really a pleasure to not only introduce him as Dean of the Seminary, but also as someone who loves Jesus and takes Scripture as the authority for his life. So let's welcome the Reverend, the Doctor, sorry, never was a Reverend, were you? The Doctor, F. David Bronkema, welcome. Good to have you, David.
Good morning, and thank you, Bob. It is great to be here. It's always such a joy to be with you all. We've had the opportunity to come and worship with you, along with my wife, Robin, and three of my children here over these years. And also a special word of thanks to Alice for reading that scripture, to Karen for that wonderful piece of liturgy, confession there. And David, one of the most vivacious children's sermons, right, that I've heard. And isn't it interesting that our children know the businesses that create the toys with which they play? Well, we'll have to address that a little bit today. Will you join me in prayer? God, we thank you so much for this church that you have created, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that has drawn us to you together as brothers and sisters and as your children. And I pray that as we look at Scripture today together, that your Holy Spirit will be with us, that you will enable us to see what you want us to see, to be encouraged. And God, in all that we do and all that we take away, please help us to be your faithful disciples, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with all those with whom we come into contact, and to live lives in such a way that we are witnesses to your saving grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last week, Bob preached on when a culture of profit gets in the way of a culture of providence. He preached that he did not believe that both cultures could coexist, and that as a result, he has developed a skeptical view of business and sees the principles of the pursuit of profit as being diametrically opposed to the pursuit of providence or of God. He gave you advance warning that I, on the other hand, do believe that there can be a pairing and complementary approach to business and mission, that I would be preaching on that today, and reminded you that he is your pastor and that no matter what I say today, he is right. Bob, is that a fair summary? Okay, very good. So let me say at the outset, before we dig into the word on this subject, that I always listen to my little brother, Bob. He is full of wisdom and insight, and just one key example, I listened to him a little over 30 years ago when he told me that I should consider dating Robin, my wife. We have been married 30 years this year, and we are both so thankful for the way that God has blessed us, especially with our children, Emily, Jacob, and Josiah, and of course to Bob for that recommendation. And let me also say at the outset, right, on this matter of profit, of business, of providence and mission, that I completely agree with Bob that a culture of pursuit of profit, where profit is placed at the pinnacle of our pursuits, is indeed spiritually incompatible with God's mandates. So what I'm going to do today, hopefully this is not too disappointing, is not contradict Bob, but rather build on what he said, not disagree with it. In a sense, I believe that what you heard from Bob last week was a prophetic message, a much-needed message of warning. What you will hear from me this week, today, is a message of good news that has to do with business, of great tidings of joy around business. And here's that exciting news, I believe, that those of you who are called into business have God at your side as you engage in the good works that you and business have been called to do, because Christ our Savior is Lord over all, including business, and has established and redeemed all, including business, for his purposes. To state it succinctly, business is a ministry to which many are called, just as is any vocation, any calling, that God is using to build up his kingdom on earth, to build shalom, to glorify and worship him, and to bring people to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Christ. So in order to understand the full dimensions of this good news that business is a ministry like any other, to which many are called, for which many are given special gifts, in which we should all take great joy and give thanks, I think we need to look at three things. First, we need to understand what the purpose of business is. In other words, why has God established business? Second, and related to the first, we need to understand what role profit plays in business. And third, we need to understand why business provokes such strong emotions and fears. So let's take a look at each of these in turn, and in what follows, I draw significantly, although not exclusively, on what is probably the best scripturally theological book on business. It's called Why Business Matters to God, then in parentheses, and What Still Needs to Be Fixed. It's by Jeff Van Duzer, came out 10 years ago in 2010. So first, what is the purpose of business? So let's go to Scripture. In Scripture, we see how the people of the nation of Israel were engaged in many different kinds of businesses, in the growing and the making and the trading and buying and selling of all kinds of different products and services. There are mentions of carpentry, of money lending, and of crafts. But probably the biggest business sector for a rural society like Israel was agriculture, the growing of crops and the raising of animals. You grew crops to feed yourself, to help feed others, to present sacrifices to the Lord, to sell or trade some, to buy or get things that you needed that others made and produced. You raised animals for the same purposes. In all of this, jobs were created for those who had lost their land, enabling people in difficult situations to work to earn their living through being paid wages. Now, in all of these small businesses and large businesses and business activities in Israel, you would be very hard-pressed to find people at that time saying that the purpose of buying, selling, and bartering in agriculture, in carpentry, and the crafts was to make money, even among the rich. In fact, God warned people that if they put the making of money at the center of what they were doing, at the center of their business endeavors, they were getting off track, what Bob referred to last week, as God and mammon. The ultimate purpose of business, rather, was to provide products and services so that people could eat, so that the nation could be fed, for example. And yes, money was made on it, but that was not supposed to be the main focus. To state it clearly, then, the purpose of business was to create products and services that help society flourish. And in that process, business also served to create jobs and meaningful work for people in a way that enabled them to earn a decent and dignified living. You'll find that these two main purposes of business, creating products and services to help society flourish, and creating jobs and work for people, drove much of business throughout the ages and is very much alive today in many businesses, especially those businesses that are in and focused on their communities. People create businesses because they want to serve the community. The movie It's a Wonderful Life comes to mind if you've seen that. Or because they love producing things. They love the new ideas that they can put into practice and making things. And yes, also because they can make money off it. And people work because it is something that God has designed us to do and from which we get meaning and that gives us purpose in addition to making money through it. Bob mentioned this in the sermon last week, how he loved to work, about his job at Golf and Tennis World and his paper route. In fact, Bob was so dedicated to his job as a paper boy, so conscientious in terms of serving the customers of his business, that it became part of his unconsciousness, leading him into one of several legendary sleepwalking events. I remember one night, that night, about 2 a.m., we heard Bob run down the stairs, then run back up, then run down the stairs, then run back up again, all the time muttering to himself, "Time to fold the papers, time to fold the papers." Finally, the third time he did this, and our mother called out, "Bob, what are you doing? It's not time to fold the papers yet." To which Bob replied, "Oh," and went back to bed, getting up to fold papers a few hours later to make sure that his customers receive their papers on time and in great shape. As any of the best of business workers and owners, his focus was on providing the best service to his customers and taking great joy in his work. So to summarize, I would claim theologically and scripturally that the purpose of business in God's kingdom is to make products that help society flourish and to provide people with jobs and meaningful and creative work. Like other vocations, it has a purpose that goes way beyond making money. Think of it this way. You could become a lawyer to make money, or you could become a lawyer to advance justice. Many times both go together, right? But there may be an either or there. You can become a nurse or a doctor to make money, or you can become a nurse or a doctor to help heal and take care of people. Again, it's not necessarily an either or, but you see what I'm getting at. You become, therefore, if we apply it to business, you can become a business person to make money, or you can become a business person to help create goods and services and work opportunities that help society flourish. Again, not necessarily an either or, but it may be. But as Bob pointed out, there is still that nagging question and concern over the pursuit of profit, particularly in business, because, as the concern and question goes, isn't the pursuit of profit intrinsic to what business is? So let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at the role of profit in the business endeavor. Right from the start, as Alice read in Leviticus, God speaks out clearly that in this business of agriculture, at that time, you are not to pursue the maximization of profit. You are not to squeeze out every last bit that you can from your business. You are to leave some of your harvest in the field, the gleanings and the grapes that had fallen or that you had missed the first time around, for the poor, so that they can subsist through their work of gleaning. You are not to strip your fields bare, right? You are to leave some for others and not take those gleanings for yourself and sell them. And although we did not read some other passages in Scripture from, say, Deuteronomy and Leviticus, these also describe how in God's economic system, in the system that God established that framed the rules and parameters for the resources needed to run business and specifically for business activities, all people, God set it up so that all people were given an opportunity to flourish in a way that limited the power of profit. Everybody, if you read the passages of how God established and granted land, and then the year of the Jubilee, everybody had access to land. And if you got into trouble, every 7 years, all debts were to be forgiven. And every 50 years, all the land went back to the original owners, especially so that the children of those who had gotten themselves into trouble and had no land could get off to a fresh start. Those were the rules. In all of this, you'll notice, never does God say that profit, making more than what you spend, making money off your business, is wrong. There's absolutely nowhere in Scripture that declares profit itself to be evil. What is declared problematic are the ways that you go about making profit, how much profit you make, placing money as the main and the only goal of what you're doing. For example, Scripture does not forbid charging interest, using money to make money. It only circumscribes it, limits it, putting limits in terms of who can be charged interest and how much. It is clearly, Scripture says, a sin to charge interest to those in need, to those for whom it is a hardship to pay back when money is a need that people have to survive. It is fine to charge interest when you are lending money to those, for example, who need capital to start a business or to invest in other things. At least that is the consensus of most theologians who have looked into this deeply. Although Bob's prophetic warnings from last week are also good caution here about to whom you charge interest. In short, when it comes to profit, the idea is that profit has a very specific, important, but also limited role, a circumscribed role to play in the business endeavor. Since profit is necessary to keep the business going, it can and should be one of the main considerations in business activities, but it cannot be allowed to threaten the ultimate purposes and goals of business that we described above. If it does, profit then becomes an idol and displeasing to God. To give an analogy, drawing on one that Bob gave last week, how many of us would say that the purpose of sports is to win? Bob, do not raise your hand. All right. How many of us would say that the purpose of sports, rather, is to build character, to teach life lessons, to enjoy the playing of the sport, to have fellowship through it? There's nothing wrong with winning in and of itself, just as there is nothing wrong with making a profit. And in fact, you can use the focus in sports on winning to advance much of what you want to accomplish through sports in terms of those ultimate ends of character building and fellowship. The focus on winning, the training and practicing geared towards winning, is a key means to accomplishing those other purposes. And winning also provides joy in and of itself, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if the focus on winning becomes the be-all and end-all, then I would say that sports, in God's eyes, has lost its purpose, has become corrupted, and it is very likely that the ultimate kingdom purposes of sports are being subverted as a result. The same, I believe, goes for profit and business. If the focus of business becomes profit to the exclusion of its larger ends, it has lost its purpose. And business becomes corrupted, quite likely doing more harm than good. By the way, this is not just something that is coming from Scripture. The business world itself these days is talking more and more along these lines. How profit should not be the only bottom line for business, but you should have a triple bottom line in which there's a social bottom line, an environmental bottom line, where profit becomes the oxygen that enables businesses to accomplish these other goals. Corporations called B corporations have emerged in which their legally enshrined responsibility is not to maximize profit for their shareholders, but rather to promote the welfare of all of their stakeholders, including employees and the communities in which they are located. And just this last year, the Business Roundtable, the Association of Chief Executive Officers of America's Leading Corporations, issued a statement signed by 181 CEOs redefining the purpose of the corporation along these same lines. Yes, at times this can be a cover for bad business practices. There's no doubt about it. When a whole sector starts talking this way in business, I think we can be pretty sure that there's something real going on there as well. So why then? If business has as its fundamental purpose creating products and services that help society flourish and to provide jobs and meaningful work, and if profit is simply a means to this end, although also a source of enjoyment and flourishing as well, why does business as a category and business people as a group generate so many strong emotions and fears to the point that many times business is seen as tainted, corrupt, and even equated with evil? Well, an easy answer to this might be that it is because for much of history, there have been a significant number of businesses and business people who generally have not been running their businesses according to these purposes and principles. Much the same way, one could say that an easy answer for why Christians have generated such strong emotions and fears in many places is because many Christians have not throughout the ages lived as Christ would have them live. But I think there is more to it, and it has to do with the fact that business has an inherent enormous power attached to it. and can and does literally determine so much in people's lives and in society as a whole. In fact, business has so much power that many would see it as being just as powerful, if not more powerful, than government. What is the source of power of business? There, I think the answer is pretty straightforward. Business is, in fact, the major source of the creation of wealth and material resources and access to these that people need to live and to flourish. It is business that creates jobs and that holds power over them. Of course, this is different if you're living in a communist society, but I'm focused here in the United States especially. Business holds power, therefore, over lives, not only in terms of pay, but also as far as the hours, the benefits associated with it, many things that are so fundamental to us being able to meet our basic needs and live our lives. It is business that creates financial and material wealth through profit and that holds power over it and creates this wealth in a way that is not a zero-sum game, right? It enables, in the best of situations, all people to be better off because there is more to go around. It is business that creates products and services that are seen as key to advancing not only solutions to problems in health and other sectors, but also in creating products that people look to in order to enjoy life more. All of these give business its great power, and governments and governmental representatives tend to be beholden to business because resources are needed to be reelected. The economy tends to play a major role in whether people see the government either as legitimate or be in favor of it or not. And this wealth generated by and held by business people can and has been used to buy people off in the justice system, in the government, and in other corrupt ways to advance the interests of the few, to create structures that are unjust, and something that the prophets were constantly and consistently speaking out against. In short, because of its enormous power, and the fact that its power has been used so often for corrupt ends at all levels of society, because of that, business comes in for special scrutiny and criticism, much in the same way and for the same reasons that government comes in for the same. And in order to start wrapping up, that is why it is so important for all of us to encourage those followers of Christ who have a calling into business, who have special gifts and skills in that area, to see business as a calling into ministry just as any other, no less and no more. We need to encourage our youth in their entrepreneurial pursuits, such as selling Girl Scout cookies. We should be encouraging to all of those going to business to hold themselves and their businesses accountable to the question, is business serving its purposes? I would dare to say, actually, that a calling to business may be a calling into one of those fields of ministry that Scripture talks about as being subject to more accountability than others. Just as teachers are to be judged more strictly in terms of their faithfulness because of the power and influence they hold, so should business because of the power and influence it holds. As it says in Luke 12, right, verse 48, a familiar verse, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. Business gives much in ways that other callings don't, and therefore I think it falls into this category. So then, to come back to the point with which I started, the exciting news is that the pursuit of business, the enjoyment of being in business, of closing the deal, of creating products and services that bring joy to others, of making money, of providing jobs and meaningful work, is not only fully compatible with God's mission, it is indeed part of God's mission and ministry through those who claim Christ as their Lord. And as such, it means that all you do in that ministry needs to be done in the way that Christ wants you to do it, to do the good works of business in a way that will give witness and testimony to his lordship, in a way that brings glory to him. I'm not saying, as with all ministries and vocations, that this is always easy. In fact, it is most certainly not. But as you engage in this calling, and as we who are called to support you in this calling engage with you, it will be important for you to do what 1 Thessalonians 5 urges. Paraphrase, pray continuously. Test everything. Hold on to what is good, and give thanks and glory to God. So in conclusion, building on what Bob said last week, reject the culture of profit, even as you give thanks for profit and delight in it. Embrace the purposes for which business was created as part of your calling into that ministry. Pursue the culture of providence in doing the good works of business and take great joy in them, giving thanks to the Lord and glorifying him in all you do as you seek to be God's faithful witnesses in the business world. Amen.
Let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for you remind us that your scripture leads us and directs us to be Christians who are conscientious, in all that we do. That as we live our lives and as we pursue a livelihood, you would call us first and foremost to follow your beck and call. And we give you thanks for what comes as a result of that. And we ask now for a blessing upon David and upon his work and upon Palmer Seminary, that you would strengthen it and allow that seminary to produce men and women of faith who will go throughout this country and go throughout this world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we pray this now in your holy name. Amen.